Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from a very sunny, beautiful Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, where the sun hasn't come up yet. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 29th, 2011, episode 239, sponsored today by Horseshow.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here with us, but I don't think we can start the show. I just
Why?
Noticed something. Aubrey's not here. We have a caller. One of the ways you can listen to the show is you can actually call in and listen through your phone to the show every day. You just call into our 347-637-3238 number, and you can just sit there and listen to the show on your phone if that's the only way you can get us. And the best way to do that is if your plan has a friends and family plan, you can just put that phone number on your friends and family plan and call for free. And
yeah,
we have this caller.
I think we're on Aubrey's 5. She's got a 5 where she can have 5 people. So she calls us, and we're one of her 5. And
oh,
then
there she
puts
is.
Her. Oh, thank God.
She just popped in. Aubrey, we were just discussing the fact that you weren't here on time, and we are very upset with you. And we were going to hold and not start the show until you came here. So welcome, Aubrey is here. We can start the show now.
Right.
So
I was worried sick about her.
Too.
Now she's there.
I know.
I mean, she attaches her phone. She puts on speaker and attaches it to, like, her martingale. So she can hear us when she's riding. Awesome. I'm glad she's back. I was worried sick.
That is a dedicated listener, one that deserves an award. And if we had one, we'd give it to her. So, all right. So I wanted to start the show today with something, and I have something special that I planned for you today because I just happened to notice the news this morning, and so this is for Jamie.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
This is for Jamie Atlanta Bray. So sad. Okay, that's enough of that. What happened?
I'm having a moment of silence, Glenn. I'm having a moment of silence. First of all, I would like to definitely not give a daily whinny to my Atlanta Braves, who left 8 men on base last night. 13 freaking innings. I mean, back and forth. You just knew that for 1 second somebody's going to step up and be a hero. And not, oh my God, it was so devastating. They lost. If they would have won, they would have gone and played a game against the Cards, and then it would have been whoever wins that game would have gone on to be the wild card champion. And what happened? Nothing. They lost, and then I had to watch them celebrate with their stupid locker room throwing champagne on them, and the Braves just turned tail and went home. I was so bummed, and then I thought, well, I mean, I'm sitting in a puddle, like, so sad my team didn't win, but mad at the same time because it just didn't do anything. And then I thought, well, I'll go watch the Red Sox or Barbara Evans, our listener who talks baseball with me. And I go over there, what happened to them? They lose too. It was terrible. They lost in the last, like, they're calling it the most monumental collapse in baseball history, where the Atlanta Braves and the Boston Red Sox were up by like 9 games ahead of time, and then they all completely, they lost, they were like 7 wins and 20 losses in the month of September. Are you freaking kidding me? Oh my God.
So I have to say that, you know, everybody knows that I don't follow baseball very much, but, you know, after doing my reading this morning, and I had heard a little bit about this, the Phillies, 102 games, and they didn't need to win yesterday for anything, but boy, they were playing to win that game.
I hate the Phillies. I hate them.
But you have to admit, they set a new club record with 102 wins this year, so that's not... You know,
Braves won 110 games a couple years ago. I don't care about their stupid club record. Who cares? Phillies suck.
Jennifer, what's coming up today? What are we going to talk about in the horse world?
They didn't have to win the game. I mean, they could have just let us have it, for God's sake. It would have been more exciting. But no, they're like, we're going to kick their butts. And, of course, nothing happened. And then the Devil Rays go ahead to another
division. Jennifer, you can interrupt any time.
This is highly entertaining.
Phillies and their stupid Philadelphia red stupid jerseys and stupid socks they pull up to their knees look ridiculous and just go on there and they hit the ball and they come home and they celebrate a home plate in my field. I don't want to talk about it. I'm done.
How do you really feel?
Shut up. Start the show with this, Glenn. You started the show with hats, okay? I'm wearing a black armband right now. A black armband that I have a veil over my head, and you bring it up to me first thing in the morning.
Yeah, plus, you must have stayed up pretty late if the game went 13 innings last night.
Fortunately, it's East Coast time, so it was only like 10 o'clock my time, but then, of course, okay. I couldn't go to sleep after that, so I was up till midnight. Ugh, I'm disgusted.
All right, Jennifer.
On today's HorseShow.com Thursday edition, we will be enjoying a long-distance update from multiple Tevis Cup winner and Chronicle of the Horses overall Horseman of the Year 2007, John Crandall. He'll be leaving very shortly to ride in the endurance competition at the Pan Am Games in Guadalajara. So he's going to give us an update on the latest goings-on in the endurance racing world. And speaking of the Chronicle of the Horse, Lisa Slade is back with us today to give us a great bunch of blog entries over there at the Chronicle. So stay tuned and let us know on Facebook what your favorite baseball team is.
Thank you, Jennifer. And I am very excited, a lot more excited apparently than Jamie is this morning, because we had a couple of new listeners post on our Facebook page yesterday. We had Erica Erica, I'm not even going to say your last name. Yeah, thank you. We had Erica post, and she said, I just discovered your podcast last week and promptly became addicted. Thanks for all the fun and info each day. Well, thank you, Erica. We appreciate you being here. Please go tell all your friends about it. And then we had Raven post, who's the last, Ghost Wolf. What a cool last name, by the way.
Dude, Ghost that's Wolf. The best last name ever. My last name is Ghost Wolf. Ghost Wolf.
I know. It sounds like you should be in a movie, you know, a really cool movie. Anyway, she wrote, discovered this show on iTunes this week, and I'm loving every episode. I have always had an interest in horses, but was always told no by my father growing up, so I kind of gave up the idea of ever owning one. Like Glenn, in a way, at the age of 49, I have been brought into the horse world headfirst by her girlfriend. So congratulations for joining the horse world. She did a couple of rescues, actually. So she did a good thing there. So Raven, welcome to the show. And Lynn also, we appreciate you being here. Now,
Raven,
I'm assuming Raven's a girl.
Lives in Arizona. So we're going to be best friends. I have to be best friends with somebody named Raven Ghost Wolf. That's just the
I know,
name
you
ever.
Do. Well, welcome to both of you, and I know we have a lot, judging by the numbers that I looked at yesterday, we have a lot of other new listeners, too. We want to welcome everybody to the show, and it's your turn.
This Daily Whinny is not for the Atlanta Braves. I was all excited about giving them my Daily Winnie. So mad. Rachel Rosenthal used Feed XL for the first time yesterday to make sure that her pregnant mare was getting all the nutrients she needed, and she said that it was just as easy and user-friendly as we said it was. Thank you very much. Rachel, thank you for using Feed XL and supporting our sponsors, and I'm glad it worked for you, and I hope that your mare, she didn't say whether she was doing it properly or not, like, Did she have to adjust the feed? Did she have to? Was she like right on track? I want to know, Rachel, which one was it? So send me a message because I'm interested to see. Like, were you right on track with Feed XL, or did they say, "Hey, you're screwing this up wholesale"? Because that's probably what they would say to me.
Yeah, what's wrong with you, Rachel?
Yeah, I want to know. There you go.
All right,
that's it.
All right.
No. I know I had said I had another one, but I don't because the Braves did not win.
Oh.
So the Daily Winnie has been retracted.
All right, I'll take it back then.
Yeah.
I wish I could play it backwards, actually, but I can't. So.
That'd be funny.
All right. Reminder for tomorrow morning, Really Bad Ads is back, first time in a couple of weeks, and we have an excellent prize for the winner. It's the $80 champion, Snowman, the Horse That Inspired the Nation by Elizabeth Letts, the book that we've been talking about here all week. Everybody loves it. Everybody on our Facebook page that's read it loves it. If you don't have it yet, you can get one just by submitting a really good, really bad ad. Did you finish it?
I finished it yesterday. I couldn't do anything except for finish it. And I realized that I might as well just go ahead and finish it because I was not going to be able to leave my house until I did. And, it's really good. Like, it's really good. And I cried, completely cried, but it's like a satisfying cry. Does that make sense? So definitely mascara alert. Make sure that you're paying attention, you know, to the end of the book and you're ready, armed with your box of tissues. But it won't make you like, it's not like Farlap, where you cried for days because you couldn't catch your breath because it was so horrible. It was just a beautiful cry. Does that make sense? Jennifer,
you have multiple levels of crying. That is for certain.
So it's different than the kind of cry you have when the Braves really lose. It's different than that one.
This is going to be a theme for the day. Should I prepare myself just to continue to get mad?
That's pretty good, Jennifer. That was a good one. I like that.
I'm done for the day. That's as good as it.
Yeah, you're done. Turn that map and you're on mute.
All right, so send your really bad ads into Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. If you find a really bad ad, like in Craigslist, send her the link to the ad, but also copy the whole ad and paste it in the email, because sometimes those links go away and the ads go away, and then we can't read yours. So do both. Send the link and put the whole ad in the email. Put really bad ads in the subject line. Jennifer gets a few emails every week and doesn't read most of them. At least she doesn't read mine. So this way, if you put really bad ads in the subject line, she'll read yours. And maybe I should start doing that, just put really bad ads in all the subject lines so she reads mine.
Like, honey, really bad ads from Glenn Geek, and he opened it up. Baby, I need you to not go to the barn today. We need to go look at the timing belt on the car. Oh, whatever.
This is the life of Glennifer. We, husband, wife, live together, around each other 24/7. He emails me? Really?
Well, you're three rooms
really
away.
Bad.
She's three rooms away. I have to get up. I have to get out of my chair. I have to walk over there. I have to talk to her, and then I have to walk back.
Glenn seriously tried to convince me that we needed an intercom system.
Yeah, that was just so I could buy another gadget.
Lazy, Glenn.
Aubrey Miller, who we were talking about earlier, who was late to get to the show today, posted on Facebook, "Sorry, guys, cleaning litter boxes."
What?
And she was running a little behind. How fun. I'll be watching the mailbox for my prize. Yeah, you keep watching, Aubrey. You keep watching.
Yeah, the litter box thing, when it needs to be done, you have to do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if it needs to be done, you waited too long.
Hey, I'm going to give some instructions here. We try and do this at least once a month when we remember, because we have so many new listeners. I just want to go over a few things with everybody. And the old listeners, this is going to be stuff you've heard before. But I just want to remind everybody that you can listen to past episodes on the show. So if you're a new listener, you can actually go back and listen to shows that you've missed that maybe we had a guest on that you want to hear. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com. And there's a more button there where you can see all the past episodes and who the guests were, and use a search function on that website that works really well. So you can go back and listen to any of the past episodes at any time. Every week, we have over 1,600 episodes now on the Horse Radio Network, and every week somebody's listening to every one of those past episodes. So you can do that at any time. You can listen to our Horses in the Morning show either live, here for the people that are listening now. You can listen on our website, any of our affiliate websites, or right on your phone. Just go to horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I, and that'll take you to a player where you can listen to our show live there. You can also call in like Aubrey does, like I said earlier. You can call in to 347-637-3238. Now, that's a pay call, so you'll want to add us to your family and friends' favorite list on your cell phone. And then you can just listen. You can just hang out in there like Aubrey does and listen. And then occasionally we pick on you and you get to hear it. What else? You can also listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. We have more than one. We have 9 different shows, and you can find that over at horseradionetwork.com. Did I miss anything? Oh, iTunes. You can also, well, most of the people actually do listen through iTunes. You can subscribe to iTunes. Just go to iTunes, to the iTunes store, and search for Horses in the Morning. We'll pop up. Hit subscribe. It's a free subscription. And you can listen to our shows on your MP3 player, on your iPod, on your iPhone, anything you hook up to iTunes and connect. It'll automatically download the shows every day. And you can listen while you clean stalls later in the day or drive home. A lot of people listen when they're going back and forth to work. So now I think I got it all.
I'm still stuck on the you email your wife from like 2 rooms away.
Well, there are
what is your house? 400 square feet? I mean, Jesus, you got like 6 steps to get to her.
I know, but there are things that are long that you want to just email and not deal with. See, that's my excuse. I'm sticking with it. Hey, we have a couple of news stories we should go over today. You want to do yours first about the racehorses?
No, you go first.
Okay.
How's that?
I was trying to cover, so I had time to figure out which one I was going to do first, but you blew that.
Mm-hmm.
You remember a while back there we talked about a Mason County, Kentucky girl that was hurt in a freak accident at a horse show. She ended up in a coma, and what happened was her horse actually fainted as she was about to go in the ring. She fell, and she hit the wall, and she ended up with a fractured skull, broken legs, and a swollen brain. Well, she remains in the Children's Hospital in Cincinnati, but she has come out of the coma now, and she's expected to have a full recovery. So that's good news. You know, we just wanted to give our best to her and to her family. Her name is Chrissy Tull, and she's a senior at Mason County High School. So she is now out of her coma, and they're thinking that she's going to recover just fine. So that's good news. Out of northern Kentucky.
Well, good for them. I hope she comes around pretty good. The racehorse story, I'm sorry, I had to find it when you were doing your story, is that, you know, they're always trying to now rehome racehorses after their racing careers are over. And the Jockey Club got involved with it, finally. The Jockey Club got involved with trying to place these racehorses, and they came up with a website called the Thoroughbred Connect website. And this website is the Jockey Club organization. It's their online resource for trying to rehome thoroughbreds, but they've made it a lot easier now, and it actually now connects to equineline.com. It lists a pedigree. It's got racing information from Equibase. So you pretty much go onto this website, and you look at it, and it will tell you every single thing about the horse. You know, usually when you get a rehomed racehorse, the times that I have had to go into the jockeyclub.com. I've had to lift the horse's lip up and look at the tattoo and then go and try to decide what the horse, where it was. And you got to pay the $9.99 to get the information. Well, here it is all for you. So I'm going to find out the actual web address. I believe you can link to it from the Jockey Club, but I'm going to find it right now, and we will post that on Facebook. And, you know, the worst thing for me right now is to go on here and start looking around at these horses.
Yeah, because, probably not a good idea for you.
Because, you know, I'll pack up my trailer and just get, then I'll get divorced. It'll be really messy. It breaks loose. I get divorced. It'd be like the worst year ever. I'll find that website for everybody else, but I will not look at it.
I looked at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you?
What was it?
I did. I spent a lot of time there. It's actually very robust. I was really impressed. I actually contacted. There's a contact person for the Thoroughbred Connect website. I contacted them the other day, kind of hoping that they'll get back to me so we can have them on the show to talk about it. But the Thoroughbred industry, unlike many other breed registries, protects the information about those horses because much of the information is used for bettors to learn more so that they can bet smarter. Therefore, they see value in it. So like you said, you have to pay for things like race results and a lot of lineage information, and they've really stepped up and provided a lot more information than they used to for free, which if the horse went through any of the Thoroughbred sales, like, for example, they went through Keeneland, they will give you that information on how much they sold for, their breeder, their trainer, their complete race record, in other words, the results of the race. All that information is available for free, and you don't have to pay to sign up either. It's free. And I really had a great time, and you can go in there, and there's a lot of people who like to follow certain specific horses. For example, they went to a sale or they went to a race and they saw a horse and went, wow, someday, like you, that one's going to be a really great dressage horse someday. He's got a great uphill build, but he's going to be a complete failure as a race horse. You can go in there and create a really simple profile and watch a specific horse. In other words, when that specific horse, if and or when it becomes available for adoption, the person with the horse will know about you and has the option of contacting you
through
this
cool
database. It's really cool. And kudos
awesome
to the Jockey Club for stepping up and making these things all messy.
No, Jamie, no.
You know what that means, Glenn? I've got to come to Keeneland, and I got to give my number to somebody and be like, just call me when you're done. Just call me.
Yeah, it's really cool because there's a lot of different databases that would have to get together to make this all happen. So they just put separate links to Equine Online, and there's a separate link to the auction results. But when you click on the link, it automatically puts the data in there for the horse you're looking at. And there's also a section in there for as a owner or caretaker of a specific horse. It's either or. You can list the horse on there that he needs what they call aftercare or a new home. And all it tells you is who the horse is. They don't give you a whole lot of data. But you can click on there and say, I'm interested in learning more about this horse and what he needs, whether he's for sale or adoption or whether it's a group that's looking for funding to help him survive the rest of his life or whatever. And you can click on that button, and your information and your interest is automatically forwarded to the caretaker of that animal. And you can start a conversation that way. So I thought it was kind of cool, and hopefully they will get back to us because the Jockey Club is a really ginormous organization with lots and lots of layers. So hopefully those folks will be getting back to us, and we can chit-chat a little bit about what made them get this started and the new improvements because it, as far as the information available for free to the public, big improvement, really big improvement.
I really haven't listened to a word you're saying because I'm currently signing up for my Jockey Club Interactive registration
no
right now.
There we go. She's going to need a bigger farm again. Hey, we have a couple other things to talk about. One is Dressage at Devon started yesterday, which is one of the biggest dressage and breed shows, actually, in the country. And they also have a fall festival. It's kind of a fun place to go for the whole family, actually. They're expecting 700 horses over the 6 days this year. and 35,000 spectators each year. We're going to have a live report from Devin on tomorrow morning's show. So stay tuned from that. We'll be hearing from somebody who is there on the grounds enjoying it. And they also, this is for a fundraiser for the Thorncroft Therapeutic Horseback Riding Organization. And that's actually the oldest and largest therapeutic riding program in the country. And since 1991, they have raised over $1 million for Thorncroft. So it's a good organization. It's a good show. It's a lot of fun. If you enjoy dressage or not, it doesn't matter. They have a lot of exhibitions. There's a whole bunch of, we saw the Canadian Mounties do their thing there. It's just a whole bunch of cool stuff that happens at Dressage at Devon's. So that's happening right now. We'll have a live report tomorrow. I also wanted to remind everybody, don't forget to try and win a pair of tickets for the All-Tech National Horse Show. That's coming up here in Lexington, Kentucky. The question was, name four of the eight ASPCA Metal McClay winners that have gone on to represent the United States in Olympic competition. And I reposted that on Facebook, so you can put your answers there. And we'll pick one winner that will win two tickets to the National All-Tech National Horse Show.
Good deal.
And I just ran out of breath. It's your turn.
So I'm just going to read something to you, and then I'll get your not you, Glenn. I'm going to read it to Jennifer because I need a female perspective. I want to get her emotion as I read this. Ready? Separated by war. Tested by battle. Bound by friendship. War Horse, a Steven Spielberg film. Yeah! Okay, because we're crazy about all things War Horse, because the greatest movie potentially of all time, except for like maybe a couple others, comes out in December, and it's a Steven Spielberg film. They're saying it's got the Oscars like sewn up. This is going to be the movie of the year. The Oscar winner.
Do you think
this will
be the first horse to win an Oscar?
Oh my God, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be awesome? So, but here's the thing.
I want to hear the acceptance speech. This is going to be as good as some of the other actors.
Are you done interrupting me?
Sorry.
They came out with a movie poster for War Horse, and if it does not stir up emotion, I do not know what will. They came out with it. We're going to post it on our Facebook page. They came out with a trailer the other day. That went around Facebook like wildfire. Everybody was posting about it, commenting about it, saying they can't wait to the movie. I guess the book, people said they cried like crazy. I need to get the book. Should I read the book before the movie? Probably, huh? What do you think?
Well, everybody says the book is terrific, so I need to read the book, too. I'm going to read the book before the movie, and then everybody that's been to the play says they're dreading the movie because the play was so darn good. So it's sort of a mix. I really want to see the play, but I just haven't been able to afford to fly to New York, stay in New York, spend hundreds of dollars to go see the play, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not really cost effective. I think I'll wait for the movie, but yeah, the play apparently has been amazing. The book is phenomenal, and everybody else is saying if the movie can, you know, come somewhat close to either one of those things, it's going to be like the greatest movie of all time. So War Horse comes out. We're going to post a picture of the movie poster on Facebook, but it just looking at this makes me want to go hug my horse. He's so pretty.
All right, you do that.
About it.
Go hug your horse, and I will do the commercial, and we'll get to our next guest, who you're going to want to hear from. This guy is amazing, and his horse is amazing, and has done some amazing things. So we're going to get to him in a moment. But we're excited to announce that the Chagrin Valley Challenge, the nation's first online horse show, will open entries this week on horseshow.com, offering 1,400 divisions and two breeding sections. The Hunter Jumper Show allows equestrians to compete through uploaded videos against riders from across the country. A total of, get this, Jamie, $12,000 in prize money for an online uploaded video horse show will be awarded in the Chagrin Valley Challenge. From beginner crossrail classes through advanced 3-6 jumping classes, entry fees in each class are... Now, if you had a chance to win $12,000 by uploading a video, how much would you pay? Would you pay $50 if you had a chance to do that?
Yeah, it's like gambling. You got to pay to play, you know?
Would you pay $20?
Oh, yeah. $20 to win a portion of $12,000? Yeah.
Yeah.
If I thought I was... Yeah.
Well, you don't have to pay any of that because it's only $2. It's two
what?
Bucks for each class you enter. Competitors can register their horse online now through horseshow.com and receive their assigned jumping courses and videotaping directive. Every uploaded video entry will receive written feedback and a score from a USEF R-rated judge. Entries for the Chagrin Valley Challenge online horse show can be uploaded at horseshow.com starting now through Sunday, October 16th. So get on it, people. Each class will have ribbons awarded through sixth place. As a bonus, additional prize money will be awarded to the champion and reserve champion in each hunter division. And you can enter today, as I said, at horseshow.com. You go ahead and you post your pictures of your rides on YouTube. You might as well just pay $2, upload them here, and have a chance of winning some money.
You know what, Glenn? My arena is supposed to be finished on Friday. It's supposed to be finished on Friday, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up a hunter jumper course, and I'm going to play. I'm gonna do this. I've got to do
it.
As soon as I know, right? So where can you find like a list of the classes and all that? Is that on horseshow.com?
Horseshow.com, yep. Yep, it's all on there. So check it out. It's called the Chagrin Valley Challenge. All right, let's get to our first guest, and I really appreciate him being on with us. He's kind of busy right now, getting ready for a little horse show down there in Mexico. But he is a two-time winner of the Tevis Cup, the 100-mile grueling race out there in California. He has a terrific horse that Heraldic that he rides, and he had won the Tevis Cup twice with that horse. And about 100 other things. And he was named overall Horseman of the Year in 2007 by the Chronicle of the Horse. I just am so excited that he's here. His name is John Crandall. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Did I do that okay? Did I get it right?
Oh, what's that?
So your introduction. Two-time Tevis winner and won about everything else in the endurance world.
Yeah, okay. All true.
Okay.
But one thing, the Pan Am Games, while most of the Pan American Games coming up, Pan American Equestrian Games, are in Mexico, the endurance race that we'll be going to is in Chile, quite a bit farther to go.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, let's go. We wanted to have you on to talk about one. Obviously, you're the endurance rider of endurance riders. But the Tevis Cup is coming up next week, and every year we talk about the Tevis Cup, and you won it last year, as well as winning it in 2006 on the same horse. Now, in 2006, your time was 15:51, and in 2010, you dropped an hour off of that time to 14:59. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and most of that actually was attributable to the fact that I had a second of my own horses with me just for the company. And we really had no idea that we were – it was a hot day, and we knew that we had to keep moving along just to keep the breeze. And we really had no idea that we were outdistancing the rest of the pack by so much. We were just kind of two horses that had trained together and enjoyed the pace together, and that was really the difference, you know, as having one of my own stable mates to run with.
Well, tell us about the Tevis Cup in relation to other endurance races. It's 100 miles, but as I said, it's a grueling 100 miles. Tell us about that, and then I want to hear more about your terrific horse.
Yeah, well, there's few other races, particularly in the modern tense, that are as technical and as challenging as the Tevis Cup. The only one that in America that even comes close is the Old Dominion here in Virginia, which is kind of in my home turf. I really appreciate doing these events because they really kind of test the full breadth and spectrum of what it means to be a quality horse and to have it well prepared and to be a quality horseman. Because it's about making a good pace and being fast, but it's about a lot more than that as well. You can't win that race just because your horse is quick.
Well, the terrain is just incredibly difficult.
Yeah, the course starts off in the you know Californian Sierras near Lake Tahoe. It climbs up into snowy elevations, even in the middle of the summer. And yeah, it climbs down through some very rugged canyon country of the upper middle fork of the American River. And so there are regularly falls of elevation changes of several thousand feet at a time. And actually some very quick going in between that. So it keeps throwing you with a different kind of physical challenge every minute.
And to give people an idea, too, you know, we're talking times of 15 hours. When you do other 100-mile races, you can come in significantly less than that on less challenging courses, right?
Oh, yeah.
Usually less than that.
Oh, yeah. Heraldic and I did a 100-miler in Florida earlier this year, and we finished it in 7 hours and 58 minutes.
Oh, my God.
So that tells you a good bit about the difference the technicality of the course can make here.
Wow, that's amazing. Tell us about Heraldic. What a horse.
Yeah, he's awesome. You know, I've never had something that loves his work so much, gets so high on his own ability and his own adrenaline. He's truly kind of addicted to the feeling of what he can do, and he knows he's an incredible horse, and it just gets him high.
Wait, so he knows he's an incredible horse, and he gets him. You say he gets him high?
Yeah, man. When he's in the game here, he's, you know, it's for him. It's death before dishonor because he just loves to break a sweat and keep working.
And what's his breeding? Kind of, where'd you get him? Where'd you find him?
He's bred by Asgard Arabians in West Virginia. Dominantly Russian-bred Arabian lines, descendants of Russian state breeding programs.
Mm-hmm. And where'd you find him?
We purchased him at Asgard Arabians as a 2-year-old. It actually was my father's pick. This is his horse, technically.
Really?
But it's truth. And truthfully, I may not have ever gotten to ride him except in 2005, my father had an injury on his job, and it put him out of being able to ride for a couple of years. We had this fantastic horse coming up and along, couldn't afford to have him be wasted and set aside waiting for my father to heal, so it kind of became my training project. And we've done so well together, it's just kind of stuck.
Isn't that the way it happens? So is that how you got your endurance background? Was your father an endurance rider?
Well, the family kind of started doing this together when we were young children. We started doing some distance trail riding and other kind of, you know, distance riding events in the early 70s, and we're doing endurance rides together as those became popular on the East Coast by the late 70s. And so it's kind of been a family endeavor for us since I was a child.
Now, I do, John, we have a question here from, actually, you probably know her, from Fran Yerga, who posted on our Facebook this morning. She said, I'd love to hear John's comments on how he uses shoes or boots or doesn't on his various horses and various events. So when you're doing something like the Tevis, and I'm sure all horse people are kind of interested, what kind of shoes do you use? Are you using Boreum? You know, do you use shoes? I know some people don't, but Tevis you would have to, I think.
Oh, yeah. For courses as rugged as the Tevis and as stony as the Tevis Cup can be in some locations, you pretty much have to shoe. Truthfully, if I really wanted to prove the point, there are some horses with tough enough feet that could do that thing even barefoot and have, I believe, in the past, but there's no way I could make that kind of pace. We do go shod. For myself, I stick to fairly conventional shoeing because I've had so little issue with it over the time. There are some nice newer alternatives coming on the market, and I kind of am looking forward to testing them in my programs like the glue-on boots and whatnot. But so far, I kind of what works I stick with, you know, and I have no problems with with doing conventional shoeings and they just have to be done very well.
Do you use studs or anything, or just plain shoes?
No, I use plain shoes, and actually usually for something like the Tevis Cup, a fairly light steel shoe. Most people are surprised about how light a shoe I run the horse with. But a good athlete and one that's very fit shouldn't be terribly hard on his shoes.
Not a farrier halfway through the Tevis to change out a shoe.
No. And you really don't want to plan to have to spend the time in the middle of the race to do with that. So you do want to have enough of a shoe to be durable and be substantial enough at the end of the race. But aside from that, it takes some nerve and good judgment to know just what is enough, because there is no advantage to putting extra weight and extra shoe on the bottom of a horse's foot. You know, as I always tell people, that storing next month's shoes on the bottom of your horse's feet is the wrong place to keep them. So the horse kind of is, for each race, is mounted with just the shoe that I think will just comfortably make that race, with a small margin of error, and that's about all. And usually for a race like Tevis, that will mean with some kind of plastic pad or sole protection as well.
So I'm looking online here, John, and it's actually your horse's website, and I'm looking here, and I believe that you would be the one to know about the shoeing, because are you his farrier? Are you a farrier?
Yeah. Right. I've been practicing as a professional farrier since about 1983, and I've had the opportunity to consult and work with farriers overseas, abroad, you know, in the Middle East. I've been a farrier for the Youth Equestrian Team for several years. So, I've practiced at this a lot, and I really do challenge myself every day to get a little better at it.
See, endurance riders are such educated horse people. It's just amazing. You find farriers and veterinarians riding these horses. Now, I also see on here that you have a nutritionist. Tell us about your nutritionist.
Well, yes, my sister-in-law, Kathleen Crandall, has got a PhD in equine nutrition, and regularly consults for Kentucky Equine Research, who's one of my sponsors for the Chilean trip. And we rely on all the expertise we can pull in through the whole extended family.
Well, absolutely. It's definitely a family affair, with you being the trainer, rider, and farrier. Your sister-in-law is the nutritionist. Your father is the owner. You guys definitely are getting the whole family involved. It's like it's been a lifelong thing with your whole family. So I think it's really cool that from the 70s on, you guys have been doing this together.
And it really is something more than one person can really do, because there is so much to have done right. You know, and that's why some of the big stables in the Middle East, you know, they are huge. They're cities in themselves with the different professionals that work together as a group to make these horses perform very well. And you need the best at each field, you know, so there's no way one person is an expert in every field. And yet endurance racing, particularly the really tough races like the Tevis Cup, I always say they're won not because you're fantastic at one thing, because your horse is super fast or because his pulse has come down super quick or because any one thing isn't going to get you a win at those races or a great performance at the Tevis Cup. It's really, as much as anything, a matter of all the thousands and thousands of aspects you have to do well. You don't do any of them very badly. You know, you have to have your horse well fed. His nutrition has to be well managed. Your training program has to be right and sensible and efficient. Your shoeing has to be good. Your sense of pace has to be good. The way you ride your horse during that day has to be good. All of those things. It's more a matter of being adequate at a thousand important aspects of being a good horseman than it is about being exceptional at one thing.
Well, I would say with all your wins, you're probably exceptional at most of them. But I got to ask the one question, because trail riding like I do, you know, a couple miles here and there, and Jennifer trail rides her horse. You're doing 100 miles on your butt. How do you protect your hiney?
You know, sometimes
good question.
I was doing an exercise ride just the day before yesterday with Valerie Canavy, and we ended it with a really long, slow kind of walk, let the horses cool in for several miles. And I thought, my gosh, you know, the hard part is the walking slow. We get fit for these horses rolling along at a trot and a canter, and it's actually kind of just nice exercise. Your blood's moving. You get really conditioned for it. I can't imagine how some people endure walking along for hours at a time.
Yeah, I can't do it, so I just need to go faster then. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's right. Get a good horse and get rolling, you know. A lot of us, you know, in the modern day, we really forget what the first humans, you know, what the horse's original occupation was and involvement with man was for thousands of years. You know, some fellow out on the Asian steppe 6,000 years ago didn't say, I'm going to go to all the trouble to domesticate this great creature I see running around me because I think I'll walk around for a couple hours. You know, he could have done that on his own two feet.
Yeah, he had to get somewhere.
He had to get somewhere. And for thousands and thousands of years, you know, the purpose we kind of are at, these great animals caught our eye from the wild and attracted our attention. And the reason and all of our development and refinement we've done to them in breeding and genetic wise for thousands of years was really all about covering some pretty significant distance and doing it as fast as you reasonably could. And that's really kind of what endurance riding is. It's kind of a sport that sort of continues that really most fundamental reason we got in, you know, about being a horse, you know.
Well, John, I got to say that I'm going to follow up on Jamie's question, because Jamie and I would really suck at endurance riding for one reason only. And that is when we are on road trips, we have to stop every hour and a half to go to the bathroom. We just would not do well on a 14-mile ride.
Yeah. It's amazing how you learn to be efficient at all those natural functions. Because they're still happening all through this day, and that is a part of it. You know, you just learn it all becomes an efficient part of the event, an endurance ride. You've got to eat. You've got to drink. You've got to, you know, you've got to poo. You've got to go pee. And you got to pee, you know, as a matter of fact, those are some of the qualities we inspect in our horses constantly, you know, eating, drinking, pooing, peeing, you know, peeing. And we watch for that kind of, that's one of the main signs we look for to know that we're keeping our horse in a sustainable within his means as we work. And as a rider on the day, that's a large part of what it is about, is learning to be a good judge about what is your horse's sustainable level of effort.
And what's yours, I guess, too. I mean, you have to still do that with yourself. You need to drink and stay hydrated, but if you drink too much, you are going to be like Jamie and I every hour and a half off the horse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You really do. But in practice, that becomes kind of your second nature. You get a good sense about how long this day will be and how hard you can work, and you learn to pace yourself. That's what it's all about. That's the hardest part for most people, is learning to develop a good sense of pacing and efficiency and steadiness, you know, because whatever pace your horse might be capable of, whether it's 15 mile an hour or 5 mile an hour, you have to be, the challenge is to be right on his ideal pace and stay close to it steadily throughout the whole day.
Okay, what I'm hearing now between John and Glenn, I'm going to have to raid my husband's fighter pilot. My husband's a fighter pilot, John, so he's trapped in this tiny little plane with no bathroom for hours and hours, and they have these little magical things called piddle packs, and it's it's a piddle pack. And they can actually, I don't know how he does it in the first place, but they can actually fly the plane and use this piddle pack. So Glenn and John, I'm going to send you guys both a couple of these, and you can use that on your own.
Okay, while we're on this, only on Horses in the Morning can we have this conversation. So are there female piddle packs? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Yes, there are, but the women complain that they're very awkward.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't really come to that in an endurance race because you actually are off the horse pretty regularly for in your vet stations. And that's usually the moments where you take care of all of that. As a matter of fact, if you're riding a pretty fast horse, the vet stations come up at a pretty quick intervals. You're only out there for an hour or so, and maybe 2 hours at a stretch, you know, rolling before you're into the next vet station.
How many vet stations will there be in a Tevis Cup?
There'll be, I think it's 7.
And then
the Tevis Cup is a little unusual in that they don't have hold times in most of their vet stations. There's only 2 of them that actually require you to stay and linger for a set amount of time. Because the logistics of managing the Tevis Cup, it's in such wilderness areas that there aren't clearings and spaces in the middle of this wilderness where they run this course, particularly the upper half, the first half of the course. There aren't locations for staging large veterinary checkpoints. So the horses tend to have these pass-through vet stations that don't take a lot of space. And the horses are checked regularly, but they're only actually held for feeding and care and a longer veterinary examination twice in the course.
And I have one more question for you, and then we're gonna. I want to ask you quick about the Pan Am and what our prospects are for the U.S. team. But so the other challenge that Jamie and I would have is we're both directionally challenged. Without a GPS, we ain't getting there. So how do you know the course? You don't walk at first like you do in eventing.
Yeah, all endurance races and most competitive trail rides, the course is flagged out, you know, with the surveyor's ribbon, and they usually do a pretty good job. There'll be certain, you know, there'll be ribbons marking your turns and where and which path to take, and little confidence markers along the way to let you know. And in the case of the Tevis Cup, there's even a lot of permanent markers, you know, little plastic pylons that are marked along the trail to give you confidence you're still on the right course.
Phew, I'd be in trouble. Yeah. That's good. Go north. Which way's north?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I guess you get pretty good at a sense of direction, too, when you become an endurance rider. Go ahead.
You develop a good sense of direction, and more than that, you develop a good sense of distance.
Right.
You develop a very keen sense of the distances you're covering, and intuitively know when you should be coming to a turn or when you should be seeing a vet station come up.
What about the U.S. team this year at the Pan Am Games? How are we situated?
I think we're doing really good. I'm excited about the team. The United States Equestrian Federation has got an excellent staff supporting us this year. They've already made trips down to Chile to scout out the ground. I'm excited. It seems to be going very well for us. Heraldic is in the best fitness that he's may ever have been in, so it feels good. We'll be leaving next week to ship by ground to Florida, and on the 7th we'll be flying out of Miami to Chile.
And who's on the team with you?
With Valerie Canavy's on the team with me, Meg Sleeper.
Meg's on? We've had her on the show before, on some of the shows before. Meg is an institution in the endurance world as well.
Uh-huh. Cheryl Van Dusen, Melanie Bittersdorf out of Maine. Yeah, it's a good group of us going.
Cool. We wish you the best of luck, and you and Heraldic and the whole United States team down there in Chile, which sounds like it's going to be a little bit jungle-like. Which could be interesting.
No, I don't think so. This
no?
It should be fairly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the area that they send us is out near the coast.
Okay.
Fairly open country. It should be a very fast race. This one will only be a 75-mile course, a little bit shorter distance. And so probably we're looking at probably riding times under 6 hours.
Yeah,
wow.
You and I could even do that, Jamie.
Yeah, sure. Only 75 miles. Yeah. Hey, before we let you go, I want you to give out your website to everybody, or Heraldic's website, because I'm reading this story that you've written about him, and it is just absolutely beautiful. I mean, it talks about the personality of your horse and his identity and self-reliance, and I love the point that you make. I'm just lucky that he enjoys some of the same things I do, because otherwise he wouldn't do it. So give out this website. I want everybody to go and read this story that you've written about your horse.
That's great, yeah. You actually might have the exact, do you have the exact address in front of you? Because I'll get it wrong here if I do it all handy.
I didn't know if there was an easier one. It's Heraldic, H-E-R-A-L-D-I-C, YolaSite.com. So we'll go ahead and post that on our Facebook. And I just, reading the way that you and your father picked him out of the herd that was running around, and how basically he just does this because he chooses to, not because you make him. It's just a great story.
That's right. You really don't, the horses know that this is, when you start these races, you get a feeling of that, you really know, and particularly in some of the horses, that something is coming from their genetic heritage that just comes to the surface, and they know they are in the midst of something that is part of their being. They're all naturally competitive animals, particularly these very hot-blooded Arabians. And the only thing is, your job there is to just help them rate and pace, because they do love this game.
Oops, I don't know if we lost Jamie there or not. But so, John, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here with us today. We're posting the link to John's website on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And good luck to the team.
All right, great. Thank you.
All right,
nice,
thanks, John. All right, I think actually we lost Jamie there for a minute.
I'm back.
There you are. Lost you. You were gone. Well, that was fascinating.
Crazy.
You know, I got to say that I truly admire the endurance riders. Those guys and guys and girls are just some of the most fit riders that you're going to see anywhere, and brave, and have gone through things that we can't imagine. Lightning storms and lightning hitting right by where they're riding in Indonesia, and just have had some experiences that are unbelievable. So, you know, my hat goes off to all the endurance riders out there, to everybody who's riding in the Tevis Cup next week, and everybody riding at the Pan Am Games next month. Our hat goes off to you. Neat guy.
Oh my gosh. And I'm sure that when he was promoting the fact that he was going to be on our radio show, he did not imagine talking about chafing, pooping, and peeing.
I did warn him that it was a morning radio show, kind of light and lively. But I'm sorry, I can't talk about riding a horse for 14 hours without the basic functions of life. For me, that's important. You before, and you and I stop about as much as each other. Jennifer can go a long time in the car, but you and I, we need our break. So
no, I pull over going to the grocery store. So
exactly. All right, only on Horses in the Morning can we talk about bodily functions and endurance riding all at the same time. And on that note, our next sponsor is going to be very happy that they sponsored this show, and that's NupaFeed.
NupaFeed Superior Supplements, taking performance to the next level. Does your horse lack focus and willingness to work? Is he or she spooky or nervous when you show or travel poorly? NupaFeed Magnesium Supplement for Horses is your solution for superior calming and focus. NupaFeed products are of the highest grade, produced by a human pharmaceutical company, Berle Farm in Germany. NupaFeed supplements are now available for dogs at NupaFeeddog.com. Find us online at NupaFeedUSA.com or by phone at 941-921-1764.
All right, that's NupaFeed. We appreciate them being a sponsor on the show. Today's song is by Dan Roberts of OldBootsMusic.com. We haven't heard this one in a while. It's one of my favorites of his, and that's Tucumcari Woman.
Tucumcari Woman, in your Tucumcari them carry close. You've got eyes as soft as moonlight, lips like petals of a rose. To come carry, woman, I want to carry you home. I'm a Bronco Buster and I hail from Abilene. Traveled from hell to Hilary, but you're the first one that I've seen that I'd marry. Oh yeah, I'd marry. To come carry, woman, I want to carry you home.
Fantastic. He's written songs with Garth Brooks. I mean, the guy's awesome. And we also did a show with him highlighting his music. And you can just plug in Dan Roberts to horsesinthemorning.com and you can find that musical episode. So today's show is sponsored by horseshow.com. We learned earlier that they're doing a horse show where you can win like 12 grand. It's like a couple bucks to enter. So definitely please go check out horseshow.com. I will be hopefully entering if my arena's done. I'm gonna do it, Glenn.
They're moving the sand over to the arena, and you're gonna get it all flat, and it's gonna be good to go.
You know what? If I can just take a minute to vent about the excitement that I have felt about 12 different times when the freaking tractor guy calls me and he's like, I'm coming over. I'm on my way. Are you sitting down? I'm going to get it done tomorrow. I'm going to get it done. And then yesterday I sat there and I was waiting and he had to be here at 11 and I waited and at 11:30 I called him and I'm like, hey, by the way, there's a big pile of sand in my front. So you're going to have to go in the back gate. I was waiting on a part for the tractor, and so I'm not going to be able to make it because the part for the tractor hasn't come out. I'm like, are you kidding me? Why didn't you freaking call? I've been sitting here all morning long waiting for you, preparing the arena, getting ready for the freaking sand, and you can't call me. I mean, this has been a month, Glenn, a month. I need another tractor part, and I can talk about him because I know he's not listening because he's on his broken tractor right now, probably.
And on that note, I think our next guest is ready.
See, it's just the brains lose, the arena doesn't get done. I'm just frustrated, okay? But we do have the Chronicle of the Horse on today. Thank goodness she's going to come and save us.
Yes, and that's Lisa Slade, and I think Lisa is with us right now from the Chronicle of the Horse at chronofhorse.com. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you?
Good morning.
I'm great. How are you guys doing today?
So I guess you didn't get the assignment for Dressage of Devon.
I did not, which is fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
We are sending Abby. I don't know if you guys have met Abby. I might have to have her come on one day. But she shares
maybe
an
she
office
can
with
come
me.
On next week and do a wrap up with us.
Maybe she can. That might not be a bad idea. I'll try to get
her. We should
to
have
do
her on.
That.
Yeah, definitely. We should have her on to do a wrap up for Dressage at Devon for sure.
Yep. So she's heading over there tomorrow morning.
Well, the nice part is that means you get to stay home and ride your horse.
I know. That's the best thing about it, especially because it's fall, which is just the best riding weather. So I'm very excited about that.
Cool. All right. What are we talking about today?
Well, today I thought we would just do a little wrap-up. We have lots of great bloggers right now, and they all have posted sort of awesome blogs this week. So I thought we might just sort of run through them, talk about some of the things they've been posting about.
Okay.
So to start out with, we actually have a new blogger. It's been really hard. It's pretty easy to find people, dressage people and eventers to blog because they seem just in general to be more internet savvy. I'm not sure why that is. And hunter jumper people tend to be less so as a very general rule. I don't know. Have you guys found that? It's just a lot of them don't have websites and...
Yeah, they tend... well... They're always doing shows all the time,
yep,
and they're
true.
Always traveling, and that's one of the reasons I think that it's a little bit harder for them, and
yep.
They're riding tons of horses. It just is it's a different world, I think.
Yeah, so we've had a hard time finding people to blog for us, you know, horse show people who are always at the Hunter Jumper shows, but we finally have one. Her name is Jennifer Bliss. And she has her first blog this week about aging out of the junior ranks, which she did about 9 years ago, and then making the transition to professional, to being a full-time professional, which is a really tough transition for a lot of people who end up making it. You know, so many people turn 18 and they go to college and they quit riding, but for people who then have to step straight into the professional ranks, I think it's pretty tough. So she talks about sort of struggling for a couple of years and now finally just beginning to really feel like she's making it. So that's kind of a cool thing to read about.
Okay.
She's our new blogger. And then we have a sad blog that I don't know if you guys have read from Jenny Brannigan, who is, of course, a top-level eventer. She talks about her grandfather, who recently passed away, I think it was just this week, and about sort of the help that he gave her when he was around. He bought that super gray horse she had, Cooper, who had that accident at Fair Hill last year and eventually had to be put down. But it's just it's very sad, but it's a very sweet blog, too, about the help that, you know, different riders get as they're coming up through the ranks, because it's certainly not something you can do on your own.
Well, you know, and Jenny has had such a tough year. You know, we talk
she
about...
She really has.
We talk about some of the others in the eventing world who've had tough years, but Jenny, you know, she lost her horse, and then she's had her grandfather die and family members, and she just had, it seems like one thing after another for her, and she's going through one of those times in life where it tests you, and you come out hopefully a better person at the other side.
Yeah, she had a blog a little while ago that was kind of a little bit down as well, because her top horse, Kambalda, who goes by Ping, I guess had a minor injury after his last event, and so he's sort of out for the rest of the season, and he'll definitely be coming back, it sounds like, but it won't be until maybe even next summer. So that is, of course, quite frustrating, I'm sure. But then she also had a very cool thing happen recently. I don't know if you guys have already talked about that, the Plantation Field bareback puissance class.
I don't know that we did. Did we?
We talked a little bit about it. This is where all the eventers got on and jumped bareback over, and some of the guys took their shirts off.
Yeah. I guess if you have a knockdown, you have the option to take off an article of clothing and then keep jumping, which is kind of an odd thing.
That sounds like my kind of class. All of a sudden, I'm really interested in horse shows again.
Yeah. Well, I think it was mostly the men taking their shirts off, Glenn.
Oh, damn. See, that takes all the fun out.
So, but Jenny, she didn't have any knockdowns, so she kept all her clothes on But she ended up jumping 6 feet 2 inches bareback.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy. And there's actually a photo
crazy.
On her blog.
That's
just insane.
And
so,
I gotta,
stayed on and everything.
Was she on one of her horses doing this, or was she on a show jumper? I mean, I don't know many horses that just randomly jump 6 something, you know?
Right. No, this is a catch ride, it sounds like, and it was a horse that she was just taking prelim. So 6'2 is, like, very nearly twice the height of prelim. So,
oh, you know what? I found it on your website, and that is one big wall.
It's
not just a little jump either.
Especially bareback. I mean,
and
I think
it's a
going
wall.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
It's a brick wall.
You know, the going up doesn't seem so bad, but the coming down really does not sound like a pleasant experience for bareback. But she said it was a very cool experience, so I will take her word for it because I certainly won't be trying that.
I don't think Jamie's
and
hopping on board for that one either.
And bareback, yeah,
and
I can't even.
Bareback. That's crazy, but this is a really good blog that she wrote about it. Again, just go on there and, you know, find the, it's in the blog section. The title is called The Biggest Jump of My Life, and Sand Saddle to Bed.
Yep.
Awesome.
So that was
hey, you've
cool.
done, hold on 1 second. You've done, on Jet, you've done jumps that big. They've just been bucks. They've been in the form of bucks.
Well, you know, really, mine's been a little bit harder, Glenn, because there'll be a jump that's about 3 feet, and he clears it by 3 feet, and then he bucks. So I got the 6-foot puissance jump, and then the buck to boot. So
hopefully you're not doing that all bareback, though, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? It's just ironic that I told my husband last night, I was like, you know, I haven't ridden Jet bareback ever as I'm riding my warm blood bareback around our farm. And like, he's like, don't do that. Please don't.
Thoroughbreds are not the best to ride bareback.
No, never. Emotionally or physically, don't do it.
Nothing good about it.
So are you competing right now, by the way? Because I know you're an eventer, and you're starting out on a new, younger horse, right?
Yep. We competed, let's see, it was the first weekend of September, so it's been just a little while, and then our next event is next weekend.
Oh, which one?
We are doing the Maryland Horse Trials. And after that, we're going to hopefully move up to novice at the Virginia Horse Trials, which is very scary.
Oh, the Virginia Horse Trials can't be tiny. That's definitely, is it a good move up course, or is it, like, going
to
be?
Yeah, it's hard to tell because, you know, I asked my trainer, you know, what's a good move up course for novice? And she sort of laughs at me because apparently, you know, all novices are basically the same. They're not very big, which I don't believe. I think that's a lie. I think they're huge. But I think it's supposed to be very friendly.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I asked my trainer who rides advanced. I'm like, hey,
right.
So I was thinking about moving up. Which one do you think I should move up to? Do you think I should do one or two more beginner novices before? I mean, she's like, didn't even let me finish. She's like, move up, what?
Yeah,
hey,
I mean, professionals, I feel like, a lot of them don't even go novice. You know, they just get a horse, they jump it a little bit, and then they start going training level, and then they move up to prelim very quickly, and I'm obviously on a different track than that.
Yes, we're not those people, so.
No, definitely not.
Well, I'm moving up to novice in the next one, so wish me luck. It's
all
gonna
right,
be
when is your next one?
My next one is October 15th and 16th.
All right, that'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, any more blogs to look at? I know that Sinead had one.
Yep, Sinead had a really good one. She's a super writer if you haven't ever read her blogs. I mean, I almost feel like, you know, she could kind of do that
and that's,
on the side.
For everybody, not familiar with her, that's Sinead Halpin, who is a eventer.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I don't think she needs another career. Obviously, her first one is going pretty well, but... She's a very good writer, and she wrote a blog about being at Burley, which I think is you know, something a lot of people can identify with, and sort of talking to William Fox Pitt and him saying, you know, maybe he was a little worried about the course, and her saying, oh, you're going to be fine. Your horse has you in the tack, and what could be better than that? And then she said, you know, my poor horse has me in the tack, and that's, you know, not quite as great for him. And I guess David O'Connor overheard her saying that to William Fox Pitt and came over and said, you know, don't say that. Stop acting like you don't belong here. You do, and you need to start behaving like you do. So it's just a very cool blog about sort of realizing, you know, even though you're riding at the level you always dreamed you would be riding, that, you know, you are, in fact, ready to be doing that. And she sort of proved that she was at Burley. I'm sure she will continue to do so in the future as well.
Everybody, please go to crawnuphorse.com, and you can kind of get in the mind of these professional riders and read a little bit more about them and get to know them. And of course, it's always a great website. You know what? I just got to tell you that I just finished reading the book about Snowman. The horse that inspired a nation. And they talk about the Chronicle in there. And actually, so much of the research that she did for the results from these shows came from the Chronicle of the Horse.
Wow, that's really interesting.
How cool is that?
I'll have to check that out.
That's how long the Chronicle's been around. I mean, into the 50s, the research that was done probably not chronophorse.com, probably old Chronicle magazines, but definitely go check that out. Read that
Very
book.
Cool.
It's fantastic.
Okay, I'll check that out.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. We'll talk
All
to you
right,
next week.
All right, thank you. Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Sorry, I know she was supposed to be, like, reporting, but we got off on a little bit of a tangent about eventing because we're both kind of in the same situation starting out.
That's what horse girls do. That's what they do.
I know.
That's why you wanted to do this show, so you could talk about horses.
Yeah, I didn't ask her about her boyfriend or her makeup or her hair. We asked her about her horse.
Right. That's what's important. And I saw a picture just posted on our Horses in the Morning page on Facebook, and I discovered why you disappeared earlier in the show.
Oh, did Jennifer post that? I just thought
yes.
She would like it.
Yes.
Yeah. So my cat that had zero personality when I got him now is he's coming into himself, and he has spent the last 2 days attacking my feet under the desk. And today, he attacked my headphone cord. So Jennifer posted. I took a picture of him doing it, and I posted the picture. She posted it on Facebook.
That's kind of funny. That's the one thing about cats. You have to be careful of your cords, because they do love cords. Anyway, a couple more news stories before we wrap up today. You know, we talk a lot about horse rescues here, and you have a few sitting out in your backyard. And there was one in England here in the last week that has done a wonderful thing, and that's a rescue pony that they got has just, is the reserve champion for novice pony at the National Carriage Driving Championships at Windsor Park in England. So here they rescued this pony. It was found abandoned in a field in 2005. It was rescued by an equine dentist named Amy Last, and she hoped it would just be a companion pony, but she decided at one point, I'll break him to drive while he's still young. And just like John talking about that horse there that he ended up with of his dad, Amy learned that this pony was a little untrusting at first, but he had a natural aptitude for driving. And now he is the reserve champion at the National Carriage Driving Championships. So it's funny how you find the horses that turn out to be the champions. And that sort of relates back to the book, too, doesn't it?
That's actually awesome. That's the exact story that we've been talking about this whole entire time. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't happen that often, but to rescue a horse or, you know, not buy something that's going and cost thousands and thousands of dollars, but to take a chance on something, and maybe it has issues and baggage carried by a freight train,
well,
but you can work through that. And,
talk about issues. And, I mean, when they found this horse in the field, it could not be caught. They had to blow dart him and tranquilize him to get him loaded onto the trailer. That's how wild this pony was. So she's gone from that to a world champion or to a national champion driving pony, and probably a world champion here soon too. So congratulations to equine dentist Amy Last and her cute little rescue pony, who's gray and looks really good in the cart. I'm looking at a picture of him here. So good job.
That's fantastic.
I know. It was cool. Hey, we have what are you doing?
Go ahead. I'm verifying my Jockey Club Interactive Registry email so I can go on to the what's it called? Their whole
Thoroughbred
Connect.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. So I'm trying to verify my Thoroughbred Connect email so I can go on there and look at thoroughbreds that are needing homes.
Oh, geez, this is bad. I'm going to call your husband. I'll be calling him today. Take the computer away. Just, you know, he's the computer guy in the house. I could just tell him which little wire to pull out inside the computer so that you can only have it when he puts it back. So sort of like pulling the, sort of like making it so your car doesn't start.
Are you done? Do you have another story?
Nope, that's it. We're done. So tomorrow, we're going to get a lesson tomorrow. We're going to class tomorrow. And that is because Mandy Widrick is coming on and is going to tell us all about the new Facebook, how to use all the new parts. And she's going to tell us what's coming over the next couple of weeks. And she's going to help us just relieve some of the anxiety that change brings to some of us. So she is going to give us a lesson on that tomorrow as well. We're going to have a live report. What? You're going back to school. It's going to be a quiz.
Well, I said thank God because this new Facebook thing, I mean, so many people are so mad about it and they keep posting on Facebook. I hate you, Facebook, but I love my Facebook and I can't figure out the new Facebook and the new Facebook sucks or whatever. And so, yes, I'm glad.
Well, Mandy's the one to do it. She's our resident expert on all things technological and web-based. So she'll be on to talk to us about that. Plus, we have our live report from Dressage at Devon. So we're looking forward to hearing that as well. I think that's about it. Let's just wrap it up. Let's get out of here. Let's go. You got an arena to fret about. You don't have a book to read anymore because you're all done with that. So I need to send you another book again.
I need another book. I would like to read War Horse, so send me that one if you have it. And, you know, I don't have to fret about the arena today because the guy's on a super broken tractor and he's not coming today. But he swore by Friday it will be done, okay? I swear, Jamie, by Friday I'll have that done. Yeah, all right.
Hey, I'm just curious for my enjoyment. Do you follow football at all or is it baseball your thing?
I think that football is, like, one of the worst sports ever.
Okay, well, I can't pick on you about football.
You have to wait till next baseball season. But here's why, and again, I'm going to get some angry emails about football. But, however, I grew up in the South, which is, you know, people don't just sit inside and watch one football game on Saturday and Sunday. You've got all those college football games on Saturday, then you've got all those pro football games on Sunday, and it happens like October and November, which are the two most beautiful months pretty much anywhere, but especially if you're living in the South. The leaves are changing, the cool breeze is blowing, it's the perfect time to get outside and go ride your horse or do something, and you cannot get a boyfriend to get out of the dang house on Saturday or Sunday while stupid football season's on and you can't get nothing done, so I've always hated it. I've always hated football season because throughout my entire dating career, I have been alone on the weekends outside.
I can only think of one thing.
Huh? These baseball games are at night. Throughout the week. But I would like to say goodbye to my 2011 Braves. You had a good run for most of the year until the month of September. And the month of September was the most colossally disappointing in your entire storied history. So to my Atlanta Braves, I would like to say, we'll see you next year. We'll see you next season. will be there at the ballpark when you throw the first pitch, because by God, it's going to take us that many months for us to get over the colossal disappointment of September. Thank you.
Hey, you know what, though?
Hey,
you know there's good news out of all of this. There really is. Because now I can say to your Atlanta Braves, see you at Peelers.